So I intend this morning to conclude on the topic I started last week, the abundant life. And next week, what I will think I begin to do, except the Lord will lead me, otherwise, is to, when I'm done, I now begin to talk on the power of spoken word. I will link that to what I want to conclude today. So I hope next week I'll begin to talk from power of spoken word. So I want to say that to you so that you can have it at the back of your mind that I'm building on this. And so last week I started, or I rounded up by giving us some point on abundant life. And I said, Jesus went to the cross so that we can have this new life, the God's kind of life. I told us what the meaning of God's kind of life, and why Jesus went to the cross. And I said to us last week that in his fullness, we all receive grace to grace. Death came by one man, and then of God's salvation came by another man. I want to say to us this morning, as I press on, like I said, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I just want to bring out 2 points, critical, and then I will give us 3 points. And then I'll round up, we'll be done. I don't want us to forget this, that Jesus died to restore us God kind of life. I said that last week and I'm starting there this morning. I said to us that the reason for salvation is so that the nature of God can be restored back to man. That's the reason for salvation. You know, I said last week that the problem we all suffer is problem of identity. And the essence of this teaching, or the preaching, is actually to be able to get us to have the right identity. Locate yourself, you know, in your relationship with God. That's the essence. We all struggle to become. But you don't need to struggle to become, because actually in Jesus you become. That is what I want us to get in this teaching. We all struggle in life to be something, and our struggles most of the time actually take us away from God. Our struggle most of the time make us to lose focus. It makes us to lose who we are. And that is the essence. I want us to know that whether you're small, whether you're big, whether you're achieving, whether you're not, one thing that is critical is you become in Christ. Amen. God has made you. God has restored you. God has given you a direction and purpose. And so, your life actually should proceed from what you become. Your life should not be about what you want to become. And that is the major source of distraction for believers. So the first thing I want you to know is you become in Christ. You have an identity in God. You have a picture in God. You have your personality in God. That's the first purpose. And I said that God sent Jesus so that we can be restored. The kind of life, the nature of God, you know, so that he can come back to us. That's the essence of salvation. When you give your life to Jesus, what you've just done is you have restored to you the nature of God. Zoe. And I gave us a meaning. Abundant life means everlasting life. It means eternal life. It means the nature of God. It means a newborn. Listen to this statement I'm going to make. God gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us God. God, in restoring his nature in our life, sent Jesus to die. He gave us Jesus as the solution to what the devil had come to do. John 10:10. He came, you know, that was his test, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And God did not deal with the problem of stealing. He did not come and deal with the problem of destruction. He did not come to deal with the problem of death. No. He did one thing. He gave Jesus as a solution to what the devil had come to do. One solution for all the calamity. That's the essence. And so he gave Jesus. And when Jesus came, what Jesus did was he gave us God. The greatest gift any man can have is God. The greatest gift. The greatest blessing any man can have is God. And I want to say to you, I want to beg you, if you are here, if you are yet to give your life to Jesus, your life has not started. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, your purpose has not started. You don't have an identity. You are still groping in the dark. You are still trying to find your way. But you have an opportunity in this service this morning, I beg you, to give your life to Jesus. Or to rededicate your life to Jesus. Your life will amount to nothing. Your living will amount to nothing. Your existence will amount to nothing if Jesus is not in your boats. You are not yet there. You haven't come out. You are still in confusion. You are still groping. You are still trying to find your way. We were all there before. It's not you alone. We are all there before. When I say give your life to Jesus, it's not a means to embarrass anybody. It's not a means to call you out. It's not a means to say you are nobody. We were all like you before. We were all in darkness. We lost our focus. We lost identity. We were nobody. Until the day that we found Jesus. And Jesus took us back to God. I want to encourage you this morning. It's not about church going. Even if you've been coming here for a while, for 2 months you started, it doesn't amount to salvation. If you be in some churches and you come here, it does not amount to salvation. Salvation is having the nature of God restored back into your life. Salvation is accepting Him as your Lord and your Savior. That's when life comes. Outside salvation is death. You might be living. And that's why I always say we have a lot of walking corpses. A lot of walking corpses. You are alive, but you are dead. You are living, but you are dead. Living is not equivalent to doing business and you are making money. It's not even equivalent, you know, to your success, you know, things are working. No, that's not living. Things might be working and you are still yet dead. You can be making money and you are still yet dead. You can even be coming to church and you are still dead. Life begins when you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. That's when you begin to live. That's when you begin to live. And that's going to be my focus as I land up on this topic this morning. You must give your life to Jesus. There's no apology about that. You say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am eternal life. I am life. So where you don't have Him, you don't have life. I don't have apologies for that. Because that's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. I preach the Bible. Praise God. It doesn't say that when you go to church, you have life. No. It doesn't say when you sing in the choir, you have life. No. When you have Jesus, you have life. And I want you to accept it. Even calling Jesus, praying the name of Jesus, does not mean that you have life. You can be singing about a rich man, but it does not mean that you met the rich man. All of us, you know the richest man in Africa. Have you met him? So, you can be talking about Jesus, you know, singing Jesus. I have a man, you know, that sings a lot about Jesus. Tumba, you know. That the question is that you sing so much about Jesus, do you have him as your savior? You can sing Jesus to make money, isn't it? You can sing Jesus because it's a religious society that we live in. You know, popular appeasements. But it does not mean that you have it. I beg you this morning, before we leave, think about Jesus. Act by accepting Jesus. That's when your life begins. I want to bring two things, you know, to the fore very quickly. Romans chapter 7. I'm still going to do this or talk about this when I begin to teach, when I'm done with this series of Bible study. I begin to teach from Hebrews chapter 6. The principles, you know, of faith. But I really want to demonstrate something about abundant life. That's what I want to do. They give us 3 points very quickly. And then we round up. Romans chapter 7. And I want you to follow what is there, because it's a principle, you know, that cannot be broken. There's no other way to interpret it. It's an unbroken principle. You know, and with God himself honored in salvation. Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren. Know ye not, brethren. So he was going to explain to them a principle. Don't you know? You need to know. For I speak to them that know the law. So this is a principle. It's a law. They understand that. And that is the law God himself honored in salvation. How that the law had dominion over a man as long as he lives. Did you see that? As long as a man lives, you are under the law. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as the husband liveth. Did you get that? As long as the husband liveth, a woman is bound to the husband. But see, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. In other words, the moment that husband is dead, law cannot exist again. Because you go back to see 7:1, that the law had dominion over a man as long as the man liveth. But the moment that man dies, law does not have dominion over that man again. Are you following me? If you are here, say amen.
Amen.
Good. Now, see verse 3. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. You know that a man is always free from law when the man is dead, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's principle of marriage. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the principle of salvation. Let me explain to you what redemption is. You need to get that. So you get that then we are done. You get that, we are done. If a man can have a man, if a man, okay, Baba Ebeji, come, I want a big man. If a man is married to a woman, Toyosi, come, I want I want a girl and I want a Larundu girl. If a man be married to a woman, they are bound for life. So, hold your hand like that. Good. That is it. Now, I deliberately use a big man and a small man. Let me read somewhere Exodus. Exodus. That just comes to my mind now. So I want you to see the kind of this relationship. Exodus chapter 1. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Now, this is the way they deal wisely with them. Verse 11. Therefore, they set over them tax masters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python, Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. But what I want you to see in this marriage, it is verse 11. This husband is a tax master. So, that marriage is not just love. The marriage is a marriage of affliction. It's a marriage of bondage. It's a marriage of suffering. It's a marriage of body. I want you to see the Israelites in the hand of Pharaoh. We can see this husband as a Pharaoh. We can see the wife. You know, she's small. She cannot deliver herself. If she tries to, she'll be taking more beating. You know that you'll be using small abara to take big abara. You don't understand? So, she's helpless. Even though that is a marriage, I'm explaining redemption, so you need to follow. This husband, a taskmaster, will always be the devil, isn't it? God can never be a taskmaster. And Toyosi is a sample of the plan of God. Is a sample of you and her. But we are married to the devil. You know how we got involved in this marriage? When Adam and Eve, when they sold out. Because you say that, I did card marriage. I did not attend. Even Toyosi himself, he said, how did I get into this mess? What kind of marriage is this that I'm suffering? I'm in pain. I'm in chain. I'm unhappy. I don't know the way forward. So you see, you got into that marriage because your great-grandfather, whom you never knew, whom you did not see, we call him Adam. Don't forget what I read last week. I said, by one man's sin, death. Death passed to everyone. So, by Adam's sin, Toyosi, who's your representative, is held in bondage. Now, get the next point. Legally so. Legally so. He's in that bondage legally. Why? Because the devil moved in when he deceived Adam and Eve. And he was able actually to boast before God. Yes? God, they don't enter into my pankwe. And God could not talk because God knew that indeed, legally, that we are entering into the devil's pankwe. So, the devil rejoices because he has a captive. We are held in bondage. So God came back with a plan of salvation. And God had to honor Romans chapter 7. Because God knows that this is binding. As long as the afflictor, as long as the devil is living, he knows that this marriage is binding as long as Toyosi is living. So he knows that the way he can come in is either to kill the devil or to kill Toyosi. So if he killed Toyosi, then what is the gain of God? That's the man he wants to redeem. Are you following me? That's where he wants to bring the help. You are not helping me, you are killing me. So God knows that this is not the way to go. Then he knows that he can't kill the devil because the time of the devil is not done. Are you getting that? So he has to come up with a plan. There's a Yoruba proverb. I can't give it very well, but that Yoruba proverb is saying that the hunter and the prey, you know, they are one shot round. The hunter and the prey. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to this next point. The devil and God, one shot at one. Somebody has to come up with a joker. So God said, okay, this law in Romans 7 has said that this lady can only receive freedom if there is a death. So the only way, therefore, that she can receive freedom, because, like I said, killing her has not benefited God. So therefore, he has to come up with a plan. He has to come up with a plan. The plan. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. The plan is a buyback. What did I call it? Buyback. That is the plan. The plan is she's been sold. And I want her back. So the only way I can get her back is to pay a ransom to be able to get her back. Number one, the only way I can get her back is to cause a separation. And separation can only come through the death of one of them. So, the devil, now God entered into negotiation with the devil. He said, okay, the way I can get this done is to substitute in this marriage. you know, and get somebody to come in. So that's why I'm saying that the two of them, one shot and one yo. As a matter of fact, now listen to this again. The target of the devil is not actually this person. Do you understand what I mean? This is just a person. The target of the devil actually is the one that is bigger, that has more influence, the one that is giving terror, and that is Jesus. So, when God said, okay, in negotiation, God said, let me give you a cow. Devil says, no, I don't need a cow. He said, okay, I'm going to give you 20 rams. He said, no, I don't need 20 rams. I'm going to shed the blood of a whole F1 night jet. He said, even if 1,000 in a jet dies, I don't need that. And it's okay, I'm going to give you my son. Quickly, he just let go of this. Because actually, that is the target. He wanted to get the son. If the son is God's, that is the end of God's plan. So that would have been the second failure for God. In quotes, you know that the first failing was Adam selling out. So now, the second Adam in Jesus came in. If the second Adam should fail, then you'll not be here today. So the second Adam entered. And there was a rejoicing in the kingdom of darkness because the demon, the devil, his cohort was so happy because they've gotten their man. But thank God, you know, the Bible says the devil came to kill, to steal, to destroy, but said, I come. So after he's come to kill and they are celebrating, they don't know that the bigger joker is coming. They don't know that the greater influence is coming. They don't know that God is more powerful, is wiser than the wise of the enemy. And so, when rejoicing, celebration in hell was going on, the Bible says, he has the ability to lay down his life. Don't forget, somebody has to die for this relationship to be broken. All that you have now is substitution. It's an exchange. And so, he's still rejoicing. But suddenly, glory to Jesus. Jesus, he died. Amen. He died. He gave his life. I can imagine that the stupid devil carried Jesus to ICUUCH because he knows that he must not die. You don't get it. He knows that if he died, then divorce it becomes legal. Remarrying becomes legal. Don't you get it? He made every attempt so that he will not die. Praise God. But Jesus died. Amen. Amen. And when Jesus rose, there's no choice. There has to be this separation. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says, Ali know. He knows so much, but he did not know everything. He could not comprehend the wisdom of God. He could not comprehend the joker that was coming. He could not comprehend where God was going. So, he thought God was playing to his hands. Actually, he was playing to the hand of God. Because Ali knew he wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. If we know that the resurrection will bring separation, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. And so in redemption, for us to have eternal life, Jesus died so that this separation could be possible. Can I say to you again, that is the same principle why Pharaoh and his army are to be perished in the Red Sea. Because there must always be a death. Because don't you think of it? There are many ways that God could have saved Israelites. There are many ways he could have brought them out. All the problem of Egypt, it made Pharaoh to be recalcitrant. God knew where he was going. He knows about Romans 7, no, Romans chapter 7. There must be Pharaoh and Israelites were married. And so, for him to redeem Israelites, for him to begin to take them to the promised land, there must be the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. So that the Israelites can come back and make a choice. They can always come back to make a choice. So, he has to kill. So, when he got the Israelites back to himself, there could never be a petition. There could never be, we are going to court of appeal. There could never be, we are going to Supreme Court. Because the devil himself knows that the moment there is death, there's a freedom to remarry. And so, in redemption, we've been bought back. Now, the lady has a choice. And that's where I started from. Everybody that is seated here this morning, you have a choice. You have a choice to say, I want, because now she's free, isn't it? She can remarry. Legally, the devil has become helpless. The only thing the devil is trying to do now is to seduce her. What the devil can do now is to cajole her. What the devil can do is to do like he tried to do to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4. Show him, you know, the glory of the world. Show him, you know, the abundance of the world. But this lady has a free choice. She can say, thank you, you've redeemed me. But like Israelites were saying, why did you bring us to this wilderness, half Surah, where we were before? We're enslaved, even though we carry everybody, but at least I shall run JJ. This place you brought us now, no water. You know, sometimes that's how we sold out our lives. When you have small challenges of life, a lot of us will go back. When you are pushed, when you are tried, you lose a job. You lose a relationship. You lose a business. You lose a connection. That's why some of us say, God is not true. I say, does he worth it? Like Israelites, they went back. They complained. If you left us, in Egypt, at least we have food. Quickly, they've forgotten the sorrow of Egypt. They've forgotten the trial. They've forgotten the pain. They've forgotten how they were going through. But now, just water. Omitojete ba ti mutan, ogbo tun gbeyin pada. Onjete ba jetan, egeti. You go to toilet. Like we give food here. If you come because of the food, You are not wise. I know we all need the food. I eat the food, I get the food. But there's much more that should be driving you. She has a choice. Jesus is beckoning. A why she can do like that. But Jesus is beckoning. Jesus is beckoning. The devil is beckoning. Like some of us here. You know, the Bible talks this beckoning, the valley of decision. The valley. All of us, we get into that valley at every stage of our life. You listen to me this morning, you're in the valley of that decision. Whether to come here. She's going here. And she says, oh, but you see, I'm wearing a black dress. Jesus is in white. I don't want to pollute. But Jesus is saying, come all the same. Whether you are wearing black, it does not matter. When you wear your black and you come to me, I will make it white. And she comes when she hears that. And she sees attraction. The devil is wearing black. And say, let me blend. The devil will not do much. Jesus will do a lot. But Jesus is saying, don't worry. Leave the lot to me. Are you the one that has the soap? Are you the one that has the water? As a matter of fact, he said, I wash you by my blood. I redeem you by my blood. I pay a heavy fine. You know that you need to pay money for salvation. There's nobody that is seated there that made enough. You know that we have to labor for salvation. There's none of us that would have labored enough. The challenge with salvation is because it is free. And that's why you have people that go to mountains, people that burn at bellas, you know. They have a feeling that they are doing something, you know, for redemption. So they say, go and buy 24 candles. Seven must be black, seven must be red, seven must be blue. You know, you have a sense that I have a part in that deliverance. I said, go and bring five goats and bring the tongue of a lion. And then you go. You think you have a, you know. And then they said, you come for Iwenuman redemption. Then you stay. Igbele. Otilo Igbele. You understand? You do Igbele. They understand 7 days. Then you have a feeling that you've done something for salvation. You know that if those are the criteria for salvation, it will appear that many people will be saved, more saved, because you think that Moshishe gba igbana. Moshishe gba itusile. But the Bible, you know, it's not the Bible. Where Proverbs 33, verse 1. You want to turn to it? Proverbs 33, verse 1. You know, my music director is trying to read Proverbs 33. I've been waiting for you to read for us. You know, Proverbs 33, 1. And our minister, too, is looking for Proverbs 33, 1. You know, he said that the drug that you don't use money to buy will always be at the back of the moon. That's in Proverbs 33:1, isn't it? You've seen it. That is the problem with salvation. Because you haven't done anything, you think that it does not worth it. But ladies and gentlemen, even though you did not pay, somebody paid. And that price, you cannot afford it. Somebody paid with his blood. Is there an husband here that can shed your blood for your wife? Oh, darling, loving, in my body, my sugar, You know, and the thief comes in your house. The thief not comes to your house. You understand? And say, will you give your life for your wife? And there shall be silence in heaven.
That Jesus did.
And that's what I want you to see this morning.
Jesus did.
That's where abundant life came from. Jesus shed his blood so that you can live. Jesus died so that you can live. Jesus left his glory so that you can have his glory. Jesus bear our burden so that you can be free. It was an exchange for your bondage. It was an exchange for your punishment. It was an exchange for your destruction. It's very insulting. It is a vexation of the spirit and weariness of flesh. The Bible says when we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. He now come back to you. He said, come. And you are still saying that you love the devil. You can't stay in between. And so finally, let there be a marriage. Praise God. And there was this time. Come on, put your hands together for them. That is redemption. That is salvation. If you got that, I'm done for this morning. That's where abundant life comes from. A Bible. So that you can start a new life. So that you can have a new lease. So that your purpose can begin. Except there's a death. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. That death had been done. What you are left with now is to make choice. Jesus is not going to die again, no matter what you do. What is left is choices. So what is going to be your choice this morning? What is going to be your choice this morning? Let me round up by saying that when that nature of God was restored to you, three things happened along. The first is restoration of health, wellness, and abundance. It goes with the nature. The nature of God does not see. The nature of God is not poor. There was a restoration. When the enemy was in sway, sickness, poverty, death were in sway. But when we were bought back, wellness, health were restored. At the restoration, listen to this. I won't have time to expand on this, but I will preach on this, you know, as you grow. A restoration. Every kind of sickness, every kind of infirmity was dealt with, including the sicknesses that will be discovered tomorrow. Did you get that? The sicknesses have been dealt with. The only thing is just that with age, they are evolving. They are evolving. You know, the one that heard the word was COVID. Tomorrow, there is going to be another one. The one that come, the one that will come, has been dealt with at buyback. It is wrong for any believer to carry sickness. When you were saved, listen, When you were saved, you were delivered from sickness, from infirmity, and from poverty. Salvation is a combo. I've said that to Ross several times. If you can believe God and you come out, you say the sinner's prayer and you were saved. Ladies and gentlemen, that sinner's prayer brought salvation and it brought healing and it brought prosperity. Don't ever forget that. That same sinner's prayer brought healing, brought prosperity, and brought deliverance from second death. There's a restoration of dominion and authority at the Bible. Genesis 1, 26 and 28, that is the plan of God. When he created man, he said, let man have dominion. But see, when we lost out, we lost dominion. But at the buyback, dominion was restored. So in God's kind of life, dominion is inclusive. Look at me, Christians. The plan of God is wherever you are, you will dominate the place. That's the plan. Anywhere that you find yourself, a Christian should dominate. I've experienced that a lot. Anywhere you find yourself, I don't know whether you just be located. I say, sir, you are the one that will do this for us. You are the one that... Sometimes, because of conflict of identity, you think that they are pointing to you because you speak good English. Because you speak one vernacular. I'm in a group now. I'm the kingmaker in that group. I'm there for by J. You know? They want me to be there. I say, no, I don't have time. But if I did not say this is the person that will be the head now, they all be calling me all over the country. It is not because of anything, but I know that it's because at the buyback, dominion has been restored. God expects when you give your life to Christ, and that's the reason you must be born again. You do business, it's failing. You start something, it's failing. Like somebody said, first time you lule, you know, then you lule, and then you lule. It's because the spirit of dominion has not come into play. When this dominion spirit comes into play, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be like when David was disturbed. He says, is there any man? I want to bless. Is there any man? Go and look for a man. That is when dominion comes into play. They will set up a company. They would have finished setting up the company, isn't it? He said, we are looking for MDCO. Oh, my boy, she set up. They just say, come and be our MDCO. That spirit of dominion in play. That is part of the Bible. That one, it can't wait. Do you understand? They don't read book to have dominion. I hope you know. I hope you know. Have you seen people that did not read more than college and they're employing PhDs and PhDs? You better get that into your concupiscence, like senior pastor will say. Do you understand that? Spirit of dominion is about your nature. You can be small and be leading big people. It's not anything. It's spirit of dominion. So I'm saying to you that you must get your nature. And the Bible says everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us. At buy back everything that pertains to life and godliness. A believer must not lack. A believer must not lack. Anywhere you are in life, everything that you have is in you. You know what the Bible says? Unto him that is able to do much more unto him that is able to do much more than you pray, that you fast, that you desire, that you want. See what the Bible is saying? He said, through the power, he's not going to do much more by something coming from heaven. He's going to do much more by the power that worketh in you. Because he knows. Now listen to this as we pray. I hope you will get it. He says, through the power that worketh in you. You know why God is saying that? God says, through the power that works in you, because God is you that you don't know. God knows that you carry his nature. So, God has to say that. So, that Ephesians, I put it in another way. That much more, if you want much more, and if you don't want much more, it all depends on you. That's what that scripture says. You will get and cover as far as you can see based on the nature of God that is in you. I'll begin to talk to us how we can begin to activate the nature of God from next week. And I begin to talk about the power of spoken words. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that you have the greatest gift that any man can have, and that is God. You have his nature. You have his person. And the nature of God has never failed before. Are you saying God failed? He has never failed before. We that we carry the nature are the one that limits him. If you release God on the inside of you, you are limitless. You are boundless. There's nothing like the heaven is the limit when you have Jesus on the inside of you. Can we have it? I want to give some people a chance here. It's critical that you give your life to Jesus. You can never live if you don't have Jesus. You can't. I've said that. My time has gone. I've said that. I can't say more than the way I've said it. Except God just opening your heart to receive it. Get Jesus into your life, ladies and gentlemen. If you want Jesus, you want to give your life to him, put your right hand on your chest, wherever you are seated. You want to give your life as spoken. Oh, le rona lo la ye, except you give your life to Jesus. That's just the truth. It will be tough. It will be tough. Except you give your life to him. Place your right hand over your chest, wherever you are seated. You want to start wherever you are seated. Because you are all bended, I wouldn't know people with their right hand on their chest. On your seats, if your right hand is your chest, just stick out the other hand. Wherever you are seated, just stick out the other hand so that I will know. Okay, thank you, my brother. Thank you. Okay, thank you, my brother. Nothing to be ashamed of. 19th of April, 1987, 7 p.m. I did the same thing. I did the same thing. So nothing to be ashamed of. They understand that you don't become a guy until you give your life to Jesus. That's just the truth. So if you are thinking guy, they understand. You are not happening until you give your life to Jesus. So if you want to happen, you give your life to Jesus. Wherever you are sitting. Stick out that hand. Let me see. I can see two hands up. Just stick it out. Wherever you are seated, just say these prayers after me. And counselors, locate them after you counsel with them. The two of you just say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you died for me. On the third day, you rose for my salvation. And so I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. The nature of God is restored in me. I have Zoe. I have a new life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for your people. I pray that it shall be a week of favor. It shall be a week of direction. It shall be a week of gain. It shall be a week of rejoicing. I pray that we shall all return here with testimony. We return home with testimony. We restore home with blessings. None of us will be ashamed. None of us will be confounded. The Lord will go before us and will make every crooked path straight in the name of Jesus. I declare it is well with you. It is well with your family. And it is well with all that you lay your hands upon. We give you praise and glory.